Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I got up this morning and my heart was beating pretty good. I just freeze up on us. Unbelievable, my camera just froze up on us. I may have to go without a camera today. We'll try something, Jared. I'm coming right back at you. JR, somebody tell us about your show tomorrow, JR, while I come right back at us here.
You're muted, JR.
Sorry about that. Thanks, Coach. Tomorrow we're going to talk about Negrophilia, from slavery to protected class. We're trying to get Eric Rush on the show. I haven't got anything confirmed yet. But he wrote a great, great book several years ago, and it really explains what's going on in America today, how we actually worship a protected class and clear the path for them. And then we're going to talk about how America is kind of setting the table for a potential disaster. And we'll probably be reporting on what happened Friday night and the heathen rage. Wow.
Brothers, I'm back. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Technical difficulties, video difficulties on my end as well again today. So I apologize for that. I don't know what's going on. I don't know whether it's in my computer. Doesn't matter. Fired up today. Excited today. Excited about going to Wichita, Kansas. My sweet little wife's upstairs, and she's I hear running the sweeper and getting stuff ready for guys that are coming over here. And I said before we went on the air, there's nothing that brings my wife closer together than when we go do ministry together. We're going to be gone 7 days. I'm going to be gone a little bit longer than her because I have to. We have to go out and do some an event in St. Louis first. But Mike Heath's driving in. He's probably listening on his phone right now. He's driving in from Maine. John's driving in from the bottom part of Ohio. I'm going to pick up Stephen and his daughter. We'll have a van load, and it's all going to be good. And got some great, great stuff to be able to share with you today. Again, sorry, I don't know what's going on here with my with. It's the devil. It's the devil trying to keep me from getting in. So I'll use that because that's what everybody else uses. Man, guys, are you capable of just pulling back for a minute? I mean, really, come on now. We're right in the middle of this hurricane, this tornado that's going on in America. We are right in the middle of it. And I don't know if we can really get a grasp for what's going on. Something really, really, really big going on. As we know, as we talked about yesterday, which went out an awesome show yesterday. Folks, if you haven't listened to it, by the way, tell your friends they can get on at 605-475-0017 and listen online. Again, I'll give you that number. It's eating up all of the data on your phone. 605-475-0017. You can listen and it won't cost you anything, won't eat up any data. It's just like being on a phone call. 605-475-0017. Things keep changing on my screen, so I'm going to I try not to get distracted by that. So we're heading to Wichita, and as I said, we are in the middle of the vortex. We don't even know it. Some things I'm just going to throw out there for you to think about, and then I got a great little study here before we really dive into some other things. Look what's going on in France, and however many people were killed over there. I haven't even checked up on that this morning. Look what's going on or went on in Dallas. Look what's going on in Cleveland. Look at what's going on in my brain went dead on me. It'll come back to me. Look what's going on. Got a report today, black helicopter. Just thought I'd throw that out there for you. Reports of UN troops down in Georgia. I don't know how many of you have followed that. That's That's on Steve Quayle's website. There's a lot of crazy things. Black Lives Matters. Today is the day of rage. That's what I wanted to say. Tonight's supposed to be the day of rage, beginning at 7 o'clock. If we can pull back, rather than being participants, just pull back for a minute and say, Lord, what's... There's a war going on, guys. We are in the midst of the most unbelievable, I think, spiritual war in my lifetime. And we know we wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities, powers, evil spirits in high places. We know the scriptures. We understand all that. And for too long, the church has thought it's merely a spiritual war only. Well, the devil's kids have known full bore. It's all about what's happening in the here and now. And while the most of the church has been concerned only about getting people saved, whatever that means, the devil's kids are doing everything they can to destroy an environment in which people could get saved. As a school system where we used to teach right from wrong. A government that used to follow biblical rules. The church has sat back and allowed all this to happen. And so we cannot be surprised at what... See, it's happening. It's like going into a football game. And our team thinking there's no way we can win. We're going to lose. This team is so good. There's nothing we can do. We're going to lose. Well, I promise you this. We're going to lose. We're probably going to lose. And you know what Christianity has become? Christianity has become we're going to lose. We're going to lose. Oh, no. He'll win in the end. He wins in the end, but we're going to lose. And because we're going to lose, most of the players never leave the locker room or never get suited up. Or... never come and watch the game. They don't even come and watch the game. They may watch the replay of it the next day, but there is no active participation of the body of Christ in this battle that we're fighting. And as Larry shared with us yesterday from the scripture, when we were reading there, we were in Proverbs, wherever we were yesterday, where Jesus talks about come back and crushing of Psalms. Jesus talks about come back and crushing all that stuff. Larry says it's the body. It's the body of Christ that's doing all this destruction. The body of Christ. Jesus ain't going to come back and deal with little stuff here and there. When he comes back, man, the game's out. The game is officially over. The Super Bowl has been played when he comes back. And so I want to show you something today. I want to get into the Bible first today. And then I'm going to try to take you somewhere. That's not true. That sounds cult-like. I'm going to try to lead us somewhere. I want the Holy Spirit today to guide us into all truth, okay? You guys with me on that? We want the truth, don't we? Do we want the truth? I want the truth.
Amen.
I want to know the truth. And if it's not true, I want to know it's not true. I'm in John chapter 17 today. Larry, I was thinking about you. I got blown away. Oh, you can all hear me? I'm paranoid because I can't see me. Y'all hear me? Give me a thumbs up. Good, okay. If you're listening to me by phone, give me a thumbs up. See if you can hear me. Good, all right, good. Larry, I thought about you. I got into this discussion again the other day that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever. So that means that's a qualifier, is it not? Whosoever? Doesn't that follow that there's a whosoever not? If he says there's a whosoever, then there must be a whosoever not. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, right? This idea that God loves everybody, God's no respecter of persons. Certainly he's no respecter of persons. And God's love is available to everybody. But you know his love is available to the whosoever's. God so loved the world that gave him the guns unto that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Well, what about the whosoever nots? Do they perish and have everlasting death?
Dave.
Yeah, Larry.
That John 3:16, God so loved, ED, past tense,
yes,
the
sir.
World. when I first saw the implication of that and the reality of what that really says, I spent weeks trying to make it present tense that God loves everybody in the world still, and I couldn't do it. That word is the past tense, and the picture that the Holy Spirit laid out for me is He loved the world so much at the time that He created mankind and everything. He already had His plan in His head. He knew what was going to happen. He loved them so much, He provided the gift of His only begotten Son.
He provided a way out, didn't He, Larry?
To let people have a way to come back into His love. He loved them at that point. He loved them. He said, okay, I created this stuff. I know what's going to happen. I'm going to give them my Son so they can come back into my love. But He does not currently love things now, because the Bible is abundantly clear. There are certain things and people that He hates.
All right. So that's why we're in John right now. We're in John 17. I was trying to build a somewhat of an argument there, although I guess I didn't really have to do it. I read this yesterday and thought, whoops. Do you ever have one of those things that hits you in the gut and say, well, there it is. There it is. Now, guys, listeners, do we believe the Word of God? Do we believe that the Word of God is unchanging, immutable? That when Jesus says something to us, He means it? That we can take it to the bank? Do we believe that? Because we're going to see something here today, I'm just telling you right now, it's going to shake us. And Larry and John and Roger and Serge, all you guys, I get nervous because this flies in the face of everything I've been taught. You with me? You understand what I'm saying? And because it flies in the face of everything I've been taught, I'm thinking, Lord, am I reading this wrong? Am I missing this here, Lord? Because I don't want to be talking about this if this isn't true. But I'm just going to read the words of Jesus. Was it a couple days we talked about the red letter Christians? Remember that? We did the red letter Christians? Well, I'm going to read you some red letters today. And here we go. You guys all John 17. Roger, you got your manly Bible there, buddy? Or you got your, you don't have that womanly thing? Okay, good.
I've got the manly baby ready to roll.
All right, well, Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. John 17. He's just getting ready to go to the garden, and he's talking to his homeboys before he goes into the garden here. Okay? Guys got this picture? Okay, Roger, start reading for me. Oh, this whole thing's good. I'm going to shut up. Let's just start at 17:1, Roger. Let's just start there.
Hey, Robert, I'm reading from your Bible, buddy.
Bearing some fruit.
Chapter 17, hey, go ahead, John 17:1.
Yeah.
These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him.
Uh-oh. Right now we've got a division. Is he giving eternal life to everybody?
No.
No, we're drawing another line here, aren't we? Who's he giving eternal life to? As many as thou hast given him. Jesus is kind of talking in a third person here, right? As thou hast given him, speaking Jesus, as you've given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou have given me. With me? Okay, cool. Keep going, Roger.
And this is life eternal, that they might know that thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent.
Okay.
I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do.
Okay, and now, hang on. Everybody got that? So I've done what you asked me to do. He's getting ready to go to the cross. He's going to make the payment for sin when he goes to the cross. He hasn't completed that aspect of it yet. He's not saying, he did say, I have glorified thee on the earth, and I have finished the work which you've given me to do. And his heart, he's on his way. Okay, Roger, here we go. It's going to start getting a little dicey here. Hang on, Roger. Wait a minute. I just want to give fair warning now to those of you who can't handle the truth, as Jack Nicholson said. You can go ahead and turn it off now. You can go ahead and turn it off. I don't want you to read the words of Jesus and be confused. Okay? Go ahead, Roger.
I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. Verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was.
Well, he's connecting the Old Testament and the New Testament, isn't he? Go ahead.
Yes. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world.
Whoa. Did he manifest your name to all men?
No.
Who did he manifest his name to?
People who have come out of the world.
Those that the Father gave him. Keep going.
I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou givest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept the word.
Mm-hmm.
7. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee.
Buckle in, boys.
For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me.
Now, who's he talking about, Roger?
The disciples?
He's not talking about the world, is he?
No, believers.
He's talking about the specific group of men that God has given him. Right? And they know that he's from him. They get it. They get it, okay? Now, watch, folks. Keep going, Roger. Hang on. Folks, you can tune off now. I don't want to shake your theology. Go ahead and hit the hang-up button. Okay, Roger.
I pray for them.
Who?
Those that know him.
Those that know him. Okay, go ahead.
I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine.
Wow. Who's Jesus praying for?
Everybody.
Uh-huh. Those who have been given him. And who are those who have been given him? The ones who know who he really is and have received him and understand that God is in him. Yes, Larry.
All the red letter Christians need to absolutely stop praying about and for the world, because Jesus set the example by his own words, didn't he? And I'm serious now. If you really believe those red letters are more important, they're as important as they are, whether they're red or black, that's word of God.
That's right, brother.
We have no business thinking we know better than Jesus as to what we need to pray for.
Amen, man. Hey, listen, shaking your theology, right? Come on, man. We have not been taught this. And here's the good thing. This is the King James. That isn't Roger's sissy Bible. This is right. This is the real Bible. Keep going, Rog.
I'm just, when it says, I pray not for the world in 9, unbelievable. Here we go.
It is unbelievable.
Verse 10. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I'm glorified in them.
Who's he glorified in?
The followers, the believers.
Those who are his. Go ahead.
He's not glorified by the, chapter, verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are.
Who's he praying for? Only the ones who have been given to him. Right? Guys, come on, right?
Amen.
Well, keep going, Raj. He's going to tighten this up a little bit for us.
While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that gavest me, I have kept.
Do you understand? He keeps saying this over and over and over. He's making it very clear. He's talking about a specific group.
Those that gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world.
My goodness, this is deep. Another verse.
I gotta start. I'm writing in my new Bible and marking stuff. 14.
That's a good thing.
I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world.
17. Sanctify them through thy truth.
Through thy truth, thy word is truth.
Keep going.
As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world.
Okay. Stop right. We can go on. I mean, because I got another scripture I want to get to. Hey, boys, just a reaction. Anybody have a reaction? Robert? Thumbs up? Anybody? Had you ever seen that before?
Amazing, Coach. No.
A lot of questions come up, Coach.
What's that?
A lot of questions come up. We're not just talking about the disciples, right?
No, he's talking about the disciples, but he's saying, I'm sending them into the world. I'm sending them into the world. Jesus isn't praying for the world anymore. He put the truth in the disciples and said to the disciples, go spread that truth.
So he's just talking about the disciples here, right?
Yes.
But aren't we all disciples?
There you go.
Yeah, but see,
thank you, Robert.
Jesus has already died and gone to the cross. The blood of Jesus was not available to everyone during his walk on the earth. Only those who he connected with in the discipleship relationship were his.
Amen, Larry.
A lot of questions.
Okay, can I flip back to the Old Testament without losing you?
Dave?
Yeah.
One thing on 13 I'd like is the word that our joy is fulfilled in themselves. It sounds to me in 13, our joy is fulfilling the message of serving him and the difficulties that come and the hatred that comes in serving him.
I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them.
We are all called to be his disciples, and Larry, you check me here, it would be my feeling that as he teaches these disciples at this time, he is teaching us.
He is. And who's the obligation to get the world saved? Who does that obligation belong to? His disciples.
Yep.
Very clear. Now, we've become his disciples, right? We have. Go to Proverbs 8.
There's too much truth here, baby.
Coach, it's unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, isn't it really unbelievable? And as I said, I read this yesterday. I'm still working through this thing myself. I'm going to shock you all here in a minute. You ready to be shocked?
Where are we going?
Proverbs 8.
Nothing more beautiful than Bible verse pages moving.
It's a good sound. Hang on there. I got...
You're back on.
I am. I'm going to try to turn the other one off here, man. That's what's distracting. I restarted my computer. We'll see how long it holds up for me.
You sound better, too.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah, oh, it's a bad. This is a good microphone here. Okay, guys, are you ready? Now this is. This, thanks. This is. We got to go through this. I don't want to go through it fast. This connects to what we just read. You with me? Proverbs 8. Hey, guys, listen. I do this every day. I want you to see the battle. I want you to see the war. I want you to see the war. You serve the God you see, right? You fight the war you see. And I'm trying to help all of us see the war. Let's go to 8:1. Alex, oh my goodness. Go ahead. I'm going to read it real quick, okay? I trust Roger, but I'm going to do it quickly. Doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? Wow, how about understanding? Huh? It's Scripture says, with all you're getting, get wisdom. But more importantly than wisdom, get understanding. Understanding is the application of wisdom. If you can't apply what you learned, you might as well not even know it. She standeth in the top of her places, by the way, in the places of the past. Talking about wisdom. She cries at the gates, at the entry of the city, to coming in at the doors. Wisdom does. And unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth. Amen. And wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing froward or perverse in the words of my mouth. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. So everybody, evidently, doesn't understand, and not everybody finds knowledge. Receive my instructions, and not silver, and knowledge rather than gold. So, guys, instruction and knowledge are more important than gold and silver. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things may be desired are not to be compared to wisdom. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find our knowledge of witty inventions. Here we go. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. You hate evil? Or you tolerate it? Pride. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way. And the froward mouth do I hate. The Lord's doing some hating here, boys. Counsel is mine, sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, wisdom, kings reign. And princes decry justice. By me, princes rule, wisdom we're talking about. And nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Here you go, Roger. Here you go, boys. I love them that love me. Underline that. She doesn't say I love everybody. She doesn't say I love the world. I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me. Wow. Riches and honor are with me. Yeah, durable riches and righteousness. He's talking about wisdom still. You understand that? Seeking wisdom. My fruit's better than gold. Yeah, than fine gold. My revenue than choice silver. Stay with me.
I lead in the way of righteousness and in the midst of paths of judgment, wisdom we're talking about, that I might cause those that love me. Uh-oh, what about, I thought everybody loved him. Wisdom we're talking about. Sorry. That I may cause the love me to inherit in substance, and I'll fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. Talking about wisdom. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, wherever the earth was. When there are no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains, abounding with water. Before the mountains settled, before the hills was, I brought forth. Stay with me. While as yet he hath not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the earth, depth. When he established the clouds above, and when he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment. When he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him, wisdom, as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Rejoicing in the habitation part of his earth, habitable part of his earth, my delights were with the sons of men. Stay with me. About done. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction. Be wise. Refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Verse 36. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death.
Yeah, there's a corollary to verse 36. That's one of those geometry words. Okay. All those who love death hate me.
It interchanges. Oh, my goodness. So again, guys, you just went silent, Larry. Try it again.
All those people that love the death of those little babies and think abortion is such a beautiful thing for mankind and for society, they hate God at their core. They hate God. They may not recognize it. They may not know it, but they do. And God recognizes it, and God knows it. And what does he do? He don't appreciate it one bit.
Amen, Larry.
Guys, can we come to an agreement here that God doesn't love everybody? Can we come to that agreement yet? Can we get there yet?
Yes.
His love's available. Certainly his love is available to everybody. But when we read that he so loved the world, he made it very clear. I came to the world and the world rejected me. They didn't like it. The world hated me. Don't pray for the world. I don't pray for the world, he said. I pray for those you gave me. Or they're going to throw me out of my denomination.
Hey, didn't Jesus, to teach us, when the disciples asked him how to pray, how many of you think he gave them a really crummy way to pray? Or did Jesus give them the best way to pray there is? And he started off saying, praying, Our Father. Collect yourself to those who belong to my Father. That's who you pray for and with is our Father. All those who can say our about the Father, the creator of the universe, that's who prays with and for each other. The rest of you, Jesus doesn't even pray for them. So we've got to let God the Father and the Holy Spirit work on them until they become one of us.
Then, so Larry, I'm sorry.
Then, after they become one of us, then we not only should we love them, we are commanded to love them at that point.
But so Coach...
Yeah.
In verse 13, does he allow us to hate?
Yeah.
The fear of the Lord is to hate.
Yeah.
Hate evil.
Yes, sir. That's it. Not people. But
no.
Listen, understand this, guys.
It is to hate evil and the tongue. The tongue is part of the person.
Well, not only that.
And what's coming out of the mouth came from the heart. We've got to learn to hate.
Hey, fellas, what gets thrown into the lake of fire? The soul or the sin?
The soul, right? Soul.
Yeah, huh? Yeah. Love the sin, hate the sinner. Or love the sinner, hate the, whatever it is. Not gospel. Not, you know who taught that? Does anybody know who taught that doctrine of Christianity? Hate the sin, love the sinner. Does anybody know where that came from?
No, I don't. I thought it was true gospel.
Yep, came from Gandhi.
Wow.
That's now the doctrine of the American church, isn't it? Now, also we have to understand, God talks about loving with a perfect hate, or hating with a perfect hatred. We don't understand hatred. We don't understand. We've got the world's version of love, and we have the world's version of hate. We don't understand really to the depths of what those words mean. Yeah. And we've given a fleshly meaning to both of them.
Yeah. So the hatred we're to have for the things and the people that do those things is not an exclusive forever thing. The hatred we are to have is a repugnance for what they're doing, and a repugnance and a refusal to participate in what they're doing, but to be ready to embrace and love those very same people if and when they come to God the Father through Jesus. At that point, we're commanded to love them. It's not we should. We're commanded because they're one another.
Now, guys, go ahead.
You started off in John 17. Five times in John 17, Jesus specifically says, Father, and this is what I call the Lord's Prayer, John 17, because it's the one he prayed. And I think he prayed it out loud on purpose so that his disciples would hear it, and a couple of, and John would eventually end up recording it in his gospel. But five times, there's one little phrase in that prayer that he repeats, that they may be one as we are one. They may be one as we are one. And they may be perfect in their oneness, okay? So, just praying for the world and looking for fellowship with the world, I'm sorry. You forsake not to spell the
assembling of ourselves.
Of yourselves together.
Oh, they're going to throw me out of Christianity.
Coach.
Yeah.
Can you piggyback on that with the... how that forsaking the assembly, because I know when the last time I seen you, we talked about it. But with that, John, being said, and the forsaking of the assembly, and then the early church being set up, how does that play in part with the congregation of the saints with the current the way that the churches are? Does that make any sense, me asking, like,
There's a great book out there entitled Pagan Christianity. How many of you guys have read that? Have you read it? Boy, is that a good book.
Yep.
Pagan Christianity shows us the oh, that's gonna make people nervous. It'll show the pagan origins of much of what we do in the church. It's not that the church is pagan. It shows the pagan origins. The pulpit, the way the church is set up, one lecture, all that stuff, those all have pagan foundations, right? And so you could say right now that you say, I'm part of a home church. I'm a home. I don't even like that saying that, right? But let's say you're saying that you're part of a home church. I'm going to promise you something. When your home church grows to 30, what's the next thing you're going to do? Yep. You're going to find yourself a building. Right? Right? And whether we want to admit it or not, we're in a home church right now.
Feels good.
We fellowship every day in a home church. And we don't have to come together. We bear one another's burdens. I know right now that if I had a need, I could lay that need out there and these guys would meet that need. I know that. Without hesitation, they'd be happy to do it. Steven, did you want to say something, Steve?
I wanted to throw one more thing in because you said, so do you believe that we rebel against God's word about assembling if we don't step foot in the church building or scenery?
Well, I said the teaching earlier on assemble, what it means to assemble. And I know that in these days that we're in, I'm going to go assemble in Wichita, Kansas. We're going to go assemble. And the scripture says that we should forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. And when we get there, there are going to be people from everywhere. There are going to be parts of the body of Christ that are going to come together in Wichita. That's the assembling. And the Lord said, even more as you see that day approaching, we ought to be assembling more together. More. See, it's not about Saturday, or it's not about Sunday, and it's not about going to church. It's taking the parts and putting the body together.
Dave?
Yeah.
I hate to say this, but tell me if it's not the truth. I think the pulpit makes those of us that believe in the home assembly or fellowship wherever, they make us feel that we're wrong, and I think it's primarily because of the tithe and offering.
Sure it is.
They want you in the house so that you can give to their storehouse, and that sounds rough and harsh, but there is no place in Scripture where it is highlighted these mega churches. Now, I know they gathered and fed 5,000 and all that.
Not in the church, it didn't.
I know, but most of Scripture talks about the smaller gathering of believers.
That's it. House to house, church to church. Stephen, I don't know if I helped you. I'm going to tell you something right now. You are right now part of a fellowship, brother. You are right now part of a fellowship. I don't care what they tell you about going to church and paying your tithes and all that. You're part of a fellowship right here.
Stephen, I think the easiest way, at least for me to feel this, to come to grips with that scripture, is the key. There's a key words in every sentence, really. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. We have no business going over there and having a, quote, assembly or a meeting with a whole bunch of people we don't know anything about. We don't even know if they're Christians.
That's very good, Larry. Isn't that the truth?
Wolves in sheep's clothing.
What's that? Yes, wolves in sheep's clothing.
Or I ain't felt sorry for not going to church for 20 years because God has been giving me the word and watching men like Pastor Honor Murray and you. This is my church.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Amen, Robert.
We are the church.
Amen.
We are. You Amen, are the Robert. Temple of the Holy Spirit, Robert.
Amen,
you are
Robert.
The temple. Roger, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're
Amen,
the church.
Amen, brother.
You're where the Holy Spirit dwells.
Amen, Robert.
Huh?
Stephen, you are the church.
Amen.
I love, Robert, I love my Bible.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, so listen, let me kind of bring this thing together. I could talk to you guys all day, and we could go back and forth on this, but we're speaking to a lot larger audience. So I want to take this last 15 minutes. I want to talk specifically about OSA and we assembling ourselves together and the effectiveness of what we do and what happens when we show up. So bear with me here a little bit. Some of them are already there in Wichita. Some won't get there. It doesn't officially start till Saturday evening, but Rusty and some of them are already on the ground there. And we're going to have 1,000. I don't even know how many people are going to be there. The church is going to be assembled. The temples of God are going to be assembled together in Wichita, Kansas. And if you're anywhere near it, get there. Even if you can go for a couple days. Quit worrying about driving, okay? A trucker drives 500 miles and drives home. He does it all the time. What is wrong with you getting in a car and driving and doing something? What is wrong with that? Robert drove all the way 980-some miles, whatever it was, Robert, to Buffalo, New York, and now he's back home. And that wasn't a waste of time, was it, Robert? No, it wasn't a waste of time. And you say, well, Coach, what can I do? I don't know. Show up. Who knows what you can do? Come. Come. It'll change your life. It'll change your life. It'll be like a spiritual boot camp for you. If you want to grow in your faith and you want to see the body of Christ, the true body, his body at work, then come. You'll see it. Now, I'm going to show you a couple videos here. I just want to pat myself, not me. That sounded wrong. Jared, get the first one there. The one says yesterday on it. I went to the clinic yesterday. My wife went with me. God bless my wife. Had a couple others there. Well, there weren't many of us there. The devil was there. His minions were there. They're killing babies yesterday. This is 54 seconds. We're standing outside the clinic, and we're trying to lift up a standard and get people to not kill their babies. 54 seconds of truth. Go ahead. Go ahead. Hey. Black Lives Matter. I ain't seen one of those guys at the abortion clinic. Black Lives Matter. Go ahead, Jared, play this. No sound.
I'm going across the street to get an ultrasound today, but I was calling around all week. I have 5 kids and I'm pregnant with my 6th, and I just didn't think this is what I wanted to do, but there's no way that I could make a baby and have so much fun making a baby and then take it away. Like, God put it here for a reason, so I just thank you guys for what you guys do.
Amen. So you're not going to walk into that death. You're going to go across the street and go give life to your baby. Your daughter's 7.
Oldest daughter, she's 7.
She's 15 years old. Kim, we just honored that we were able to be here. And God bless you for giving life to your little baby.
Thank you. Have a blessed day.
You too.
Thank
you.
Freeze it. Keep going. I'm going to show you something. Go a little bit farther. Hey, guys, I want you to see something in the background here. Right there. See the guy in the red hat? That's a pastor. The guy in the red hat. Point at him, Jared. That's a pastor. Reverend Al. He's the one who came to the city council meeting and announced to all the world that he was a reverend, and the rest of us, we're all screwed up, the rest of us. Point I'm making, hear me. She would have been guilt-ridden her whole life. She's got enough kids. She has a 5-month-old, and now she's pregnant again. But hey, she says she's a Christian. She had a real tenderness to her. She's going to raise her baby. The baby's going to live because we were there. Hey, can somebody tell me that's not the gospel? Somebody help me out here?
Amen.
That's the gospel, brother. That right there is the gospel of Jesus. That's what we do in Wichita. It's the kind of stuff we're going to do. So I want to show you another really quick video. For those of you who are still apprehensive and scared and really don't know what you want to do, Jared, go to that Vimeo video, the OSA video. This is another one, and I want you to watch this one because you're going to see, again, you're just going to see regular people like John Pride out on the streets. It's just what you're going to see. You're going to see guys like Stephen. You're going to run into guys like Robert. You're just going to run into regular people out on the street. The body of Christ out serving the Lord. Now, this video is about 5 minutes as well. This is from Charlotte, North Carolina, a few years ago. I want you to hear Rusty Thomas. Rusty's going to close this video down at the end. I remember yesterday, I showed you the little video a couple days ago, the little aborted baby. You're going to see that aborted baby again today in the casket, and you'll notice that the baby is black. Part of its body's black, and that's from the acid they put in the abortion, the alkaline, whatever they call that stuff. The chemical abortion burns the baby's body. I want you to notice that. This is really exciting because you'll see here, we went to the mosque. We went out to the mosque at the call to prayer. We showed up outside there and held signs and preached, street preached at the mosque. It was powerful. Powerful. Taking the gospel. Huh? Taking the gospel to the beast. Go ahead and play that, Jared. 5 minutes.
daughter, sister. That mother probably doesn't even know that she's here right now. We declare this day that the lives of all children, born and preborn, are sacred to God and worthy of a defense. This is going to come to an end when your church rises up and makes up her mind it will come to an end. So God, we pray that you would help us today. And God, we pray that very soon in this city, abortion will be at an end. Father, you said when your people cried out, you remembered the covenant. So Lord, we cry to you. There's a cry. Hear, oh God, remember the covenant and rescue, oh God, save once again. For we still believe you are a God mighty to save. And God, cleanse the land of this evil once and for all.
Maybe one heard and turned, and a baby saved today because the Church of Jesus Christ is taking her place at the gates of the city. And here's the amazing thing. God watches over his word to perform it. I'm telling you, church, if we'll cross that line of obedience and just show up, God himself will show off. Church, we're not a protest group. We are on a rescue mission to save babies, to save souls, to save our nation from the blood guilt that is invoking God's wrath upon us. And we got to stand in the gap, make up the hedge, and give God a reason to show mercy to a nation that's begging for his judgments. Come on, church. This is the evil of our day, and we must address it and overcome it in the mighty name of Jesus. God bless you, church. Come on, we can do it.
Operation Save America. So yesterday, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, whenever it was, I talked about bloodshed. We'll follow bloodshed. Bloodshed pursues you. Bloodshed runs you down. Guys, can't you see the bloodshed in our streets? Can't we see what's going on? Can't we make a connection? See, can't we see the folly and the lie of the Black Lives Matter when 60, 50, 40 people will be killed in Chicago this weekend by black brothers killing black brothers? It is nothing more than just a physical manifestation of what's taking place in the natural realm, in the spiritual realm. Blood is never satisfied. It is never satisfied. And the church can pray all it wants to against the darkness and against the evil. My goodness, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. If the church would rise up and say no to much of this stuff that's going on in this nation, as Rusty would say,
round trip.
We would give God a reason to give us mercy, rather than the judgment that we deserve. And the answer is in the hands of the church. Us! We are his people. We are the only ones that can do something about this. The government isn't going to do it. We see where they've already taken us. The politicians aren't going to do it. Mike Pence ain't going to do it. We're going to put a dent in the devil's armor when we're in Wichita, Kansas. Pump us up there, John. Are they ready for us, John? John's in Wichita.
Yeah, Coach, they're ready. We got people on the ground already. You're not going to believe what the pro-aborts have done to the clinic. They have created a wall of memoriam for the abortion industry. When you see it, It will set your hair on fire, Coach. It's sad.
Guys, listen, John, let me jump in here real quick just for time's sake. Stay right there. I'll come right back to you. Hey, folks, at George Tiller's clinic, as I said the other day, he killed 65,000 stadium full of babies. He himself did that. At the time when he was at the height of his business, he had his own incinerator on location. In other words, listen, George Tiller would kill the babies. They would bring in a minister to give a blessing to the baby, not making it up. And then they would throw it into his own incinerator there on the ground. And there are those who've spent their time witnessing outside the abortion clinic in Wichita, Kansas, and said you would be walking down the street and the ash of the babies would fall into your hair.
And that's right.
Now John's telling us that they're building an abortion memorial right at that spot today. Right, John?
That's true, yes.
So that's where we're going to go, man.
It's going to be, it really is going to be something that a person will definitely want to be at, Coach. It really will be.
Amen. So, listen, I'm not talking to you guys in the queue here, although I am. I'm talking to there are hundreds of people listening to us right now that are half a day's drive from Wichita. You say, Coach, I don't even know what to do. I'm scared to come there. Well, I know you're scared. I know you are. Just come and hold a sign. Just come and fold your arms. Just come and pray. Just come and be part of the body that is assembled there. And I promise you, God will do something not only in Wichita, he's going to do something in your heart as well. Anybody?
Coach.
Yeah.
I was scared. When I went to Target by myself, but I knew in my heart that I was honoring my God. I was scared when I drove to Montgomery, but I knew I was honoring my God. I knew I was scared when I went to Ohio, walking down the street with Larry and Dave. But I wasn't scared because God was there. I wasn't scared no more when I drove to Buffalo. God will give you strength. I just wish and pray I could give all to him. Oh, there's no reason to be scared. He on our side.
Robert, and you're growing in faith daily, aren't you? Your faith is getting stronger daily when you go and he shows up.
Amen. Amen.
So woo! Listen. I'm not trying to listen. I swear, I'm not trying to put pressure on anybody. I'm just telling you that there's some out of you out there that are watching. The Lord wants to give you a life-changing, deep experience with Him that you've never had, and that you'll see what the war is really all about. You'll see the face of evil. John is so right. I haven't even seen that display, John, but I can imagine what that must be like. This is George Tiller's abortion clinic. Is the high place. It is the mecca of abortion. 65,000 babies died there. And even though he's gone and dead, that is still like, you know how I go to Dallas, I go see where Kennedy was killed? That X still marks the spot? Well, the X marks the spot where George Tiller killed all those babies. And not only are we going to go there, the pro-aborts, the God-haters, they're going to show up, and they're going to honor their God. It's going to be, as my buddy Butch sings, we sing a God who answers by fire. We sing serve a God who answers by holy fire. We serve a God who answers by fire. Send your fire, Lord. That's what I'm praying, that he would send his fire to Wichita, Kansas, that we would... Man, that we'd be filled with that right, righteous Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hey, bless all of you. We will be broadcasting live from Wichita, and we're going to have guests for you every morning. It's going to be really early out there. They're an hour behind us. So our 7 o'clock show will still be at 7 o'clock, but I'll have to get Rusty and some of those guys up early to get them on the show. So we're going to give you updates, let you know what's going on, appreciate your prayers, and just appreciate the hearts of all of you out there that watch us. God bless you. Next time I see you,
will be from the streets of Wichita, Kansas. God bless you.